AV Power Up. Yes, listeners, you are listening to AV-related infotainment with your host, the most rocking coast to coast, Corey Moss. I'm Justin Moss. Should you care to venture off into the interwebs at Twitter at Paladin Makita, and you're listening to the AV Power Up.
Hey, everyone. This is Johnny Moda. Welcome to the internet-famous show, AV Power Up. And it's really time to start thinking what kind of world we're leaving behind for Keith Richards. You're listening to AV Power Up. My name's Johnny Moda, at Johnny Moda, great on the Twitters.
I hear kids.
Yeah, that's me. Sorry. And this is Jeremy Caldera. You're listening to AV Power Up, at Jeremy underscore Caldera. And yes, those are my children in the background.
Oh, we invited kids on the show. What do you know? Unbeknownst to me. And I'm Corey Moss at CB Moss. And you are listening to AV Power Up, not at Infocom tonight, but it's all still the same here on Rave Pubs Radio. I am your host. Let's roll this thing. We have two guests on with us tonight. And if you noticed, we do not have any women on this show tonight. So, hopefully we'll rectify that next week. But anyway, we have two guests. I tell you what, we did the AV Power Up show at Infocom. The two guests were on the show. We hope they had a good time. They're going to tell us if they had a good time. And if not, they'll go on mute for the rest of the show. So we'll see what we got. Our first guest, how else can I describe him but Paul Zealy? Paul Zealy, how you doing?
That's an apt description. Everyone in Radioland will be able to picture that perfectly. So we're fine.
You forgot his title. It's the illustrious Paul Zealy.
Well, we can definitely say that. But I think saying Paul Zealy is enough.
Though I am looking to be promoted to inimitable.
Oh. I got to Google that one. Hang on a second. That one's rough.
Here to spell inimitable.
Yeah. Say it again, because it just rolled right off your tongue.
Inimitable.
And now here to spell that is our next guest, John Green.
Absolutely not. I am not going to hear that. I'm only here for having my hopes and dreams and excitement from Infocom to get dashed and corrected.
That's what I figured. You were here to get all dashed. That's right. That's what we're here to do on this show, to dash all your dreams after coming back from Infocom. So anyway, here we are. So the first order of business, of course, is Ingram Micro. Ingram Micro, out there, a major distributor in the industry for your AV and IT needs. And it has nothing to do with convergence. Trust me. Go to Ingram Micro, ingrammicro.com. Leave out the www's. They don't matter anymore, as Johnny knows.
Well,
the entire interwebs is proud of you.
and you as well. I tell you what, Infocom was a good show. It was a very good show. This year, they exceeded 1,000 exhibitors. Paul, what do you think? I mean, Harman was, of course, one of those exhibitors.
I think Harman exceeded 1,000 attendees.
Did they really? Were you actually there to see it?
No, I just saw how full the hotel was.
I tell you what, we're going to get right to this, Paul. We're going to actually guess how many times you stepped foot in the booth and even on the perimeter of the carpet.
During show days or including stopping in to check on people during setup?
And I tell you what, let's include all of it. So, John, your guess first.
I'm going to go with three, and I'm going to explain.
It's three?
He had to go to the booth to pick up the badge. He had to go back to the booth to hand in the badge, and he's sporting a Harman hat, so he had to go back at least once for swag.
Boy, did you get that all three of those. I have concierge service. Vincent delivers my badge.
You didn't consider that,
did you? Listen, the cat still stands.
Gave me the hat.
We don't. It's not a question of whether the rationalization behind the number. It's the number that counts.
It's a very valid count, but the rationale is way off.
Okay, wait a minute. All right, so it's Justin's turn. Justin, give us your guess. How many times did Paul Zealy step in or on the perimeter of the Harman booth?
So
in all the days.
All the days, counting setup and including walk time. I'm gonna venture a guess. If we're playing Price is Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm going to say six. And the reason why is because Paul Zealy's aura has been proven to cure cancer. And we didn't see anyone miraculously healed at that point in time. So the number had to be six or less to accommodate.
Are you counting his aura actually being in the booth without him?
Oh, no. His aura precedes him everywhere. The minute he landed in Las Vegas, Paul Seeley was one with the Vegas Strip. It's amazing. Wow.
I'm not sure how you actually quantify this.
It is very difficult for me to buy a drink during InfoCom week.
It is. And his tears are actually proven to cure the AVIT convergence.
Especially now that Bill Nackers has to works for a manufacturer.
Yes, that's right. To
play the consultant card.
Do you know that whenever Paul walked up to a casino bar, the bartender actually had to look for somebody to buy him a drink? They would not let him buy it himself.
I saw him just point. Your turn.
Yeah. Hey, you over there, buy me a drink. Okay, next. So that was six. We got three, Johnny Mota. How many times did Paul Seeley actually step on the carpet of Harmon Booth?
In the spirit of Google's Price is Right analogy, I will say for at least one beer.
He went under. You suck.
Okay. All right. Okay. I think Paul's liking that one. Paul, any comments to that?
No booth beers. I don't even know if they had one.
Then we know Johnny's out of the running.
Not necessarily. It's still a valid number.
He mentioned the beer, but there were no beers. But all right, we'll take the one. That's fine. J-Dog, what you got? Hey, Dog.
I'm here. So.
Yeah, so what you got? What kind of number we got?
What do we got
for? Were you listening to this?
No, I actually wasn't. I was actually.
Go back on mute, would you? Next show.
How many times
did Paul Seeley actually step in or on?
Oh yeah, that I got. Okay. I thought you were doing something else already by now. I'm gonna go with.
Have your kid answer. What's that?
Come in. Hold up like this. What do you say? She says three.
Oh, she says three. Okay.
There you go.
Three. I think somebody else said three, right, John? Yeah.
Sorry, I got number three.
All right, we got two threes going. Is it my turn? It's my turn. I am going to go with two. Two's my number. So Paul Seeley, who?
I believe the winner is Justin Watts. If you count the pre-show five times. If you count the pre-show, I went there to check on an install, and they needed a cable, so I brought them back a cable. And then I showed up for a meeting on the first day. Somebody left a business card I had to pick up, so I swung by on the second day and picked up the business card, actually stepped onto the booth. And the third day, I had an interview, so I just had them interview me there since they would shuttle me.
I would have said over under like two or something like that.
It would have been.
I'm shocked.
It was a total of probably at least 2 hours because I had two meetings and they didn't necessarily have to be in the booth, but it was a convenient place where I knew I could sit and they would bring me drinks.
Mm. Okay. Well, that's it, Justin, you win. So, for that win, Justin, I don't know, Paul, what does he get for that win?
It was three times during the show.
You sent him a Harmon hat.
Yeah.
Send him a Harmon hat. There you go.
We'll try to figure out some Harmon swag.
Well, I don't know. Paul's got a Room Ready hat from ZDI. And by the way, I'm wearing mine too. So, yeah. A little promo there. And Justin has his, but it doesn't quite fit his head there, Jeremy. So you did say one size fits all.
One size fits most.
One size fits most, unless you have a melon the size of his.
Go back to the bosses and tell them one size does not fit all. It fits.
That's what happens when you work at Google. Your head goes like this.
So we're gonna put this one on Google, I'm guessing, huh? There you go. All right. ZDI hat will not fit on Google head.
Justin's just glad he doesn't live in Houston this month.
There you go. But I've also got on something else, and this was actually great swag from the show. It's a shirt from Logitech, and what it says, and I'll hold it up for everybody to see. I know you can't see it. Pants optional since 1998. Oh my God! And Paul does have pants optional.
That's one of the reasons I don't go to work. They make me wear pants.
Paul, I'll never unsee that. You know.
Thank God this is radio.
They're actually gym shorts.
Thank God for everybody. Well, I don't know. All your fans might like to see that, Paul. So maybe we will put that on a video one day. I am wearing pants, so, you know. One day, though. You
it's
know.
Hot here.
It is hot down
my
there.
My air conditioning has been running all day, and it's still humid.
Hmm. Okay. So, anyway, we've got guests. So, John Green, how you doing?
Good.
Very good. So, John, you joined us on AV Power Up at the show.
Yep.
Okay. And you so must have.
It was a wonderful gathering of a network of people that you pulled together.
A gathering or gaggle?
It was a gaggle. Okay. Was it a noodle of network people? What is it?
Well, you know, I tell you what, John, I mean, it was pretty amazing, you know, all the people that came on the show and, you know, the rotations and everything else. And honestly, it was 2 months in the making putting it together. So, as crazy as I am, I said, we did a show with about 7 guests last year. I said, good, I want over 20 this year.
And is that the final number too?
Of what? The show?
Of how many guests were actually on the show?
There was 6 waves of 4, so, but yeah. I don't know if everybody showed up.
That would be 24.
Well, no. I don't know if everybody shows up. That was intended. So I think we had maybe 22, 23. We had Bill Mattress's wife, Lynn, and I got to tell you, Lynn, yeah. Lynn did a great job with the, you know, telling us about the AV wife.
Right.
That was John, next time we have your wife on, okay?
And this is the first time in years and years and years that Infocom hasn't been on her anniversary.
On your anniversary?
No, on hers. Bill Natras always complained that Infocom is in the way of my anniversary. And a week earlier this year.
I see. So, but yeah, I said to John, he brings his wife next year.
No, it ain't happening.
No.
No, I say really? No. Yeah,
nah. We'll lobby for her. It's cool.
She hasn't figured out how I bring
mine. I'll bring mine. Oh, wait.
yeah,
ouch, dude, come on.
Yeah, ooh, wow. You know, well, okay. I have something to say about that, but I guess I won't. Anyway, so John, Infocom, how was it, buddy?
It's exciting. I spent most of my time over in that Harmon Court, you know, that area there. Standing around waiting for Paul to show up, so I lost some time doing that. But I was, you know, we were there for Soft Codex. We were there for Unified Communication. There were, but I'll tell you, there were some stunners there that they were real live. Harmon had a good booth. You know, Planar was remarkable. And actually standing around and watch people with their iPhones taking pictures of a screen, it was just remarkable. There's probably about 10 or 15 manufacturers that really come to mind really hard and fast. So let's leave it at that. Good show, though. We actually had our own booth. We had a booth there for HR recruitment. We had some good conversations. It was funny. I don't know if we picked up any employees, but we certainly picked up some subcontractors and some partners we could do some business with. So overall, the feel for the show was very exciting.
Well, the way things go, if you can pick up subcontractors and all too, John, I think that's a win just as well.
Oh, absolutely. No doubt about it. We're very excited about it.
Yeah. No, so you did, you were actually next to Tier PM, right?
Yep.
You were situated right next to them.
Yep. And right next to our other competitors, AVI and Whitlock. Mm-hmm. Doing the same thing.
That's right.
And Shore, it seemed like Shore was hiring from there too. It's an odd sort of way of doing things.
I actually went in one of the bathrooms at Infocom, and there were scattered all across the shelf above the sinks where AVISPL had scattered his cards. All above the sink in the bathroom.
Interesting. Okay. Well, you know, that's...
Even that, or he's handing them out on the way in and people were just tossing them up there.
Right.
Anything goes. What can I say?
I guess so, you go where the people go, right?
That's absolutely it, I tell you.
It was right up by the education session, so maybe he's figuring he's going to get some motivated people.
Yep. Oh, my gosh. Paul, I guess, you know, Harmon and all of that. How about the education side? How did all that go for you?
It went really well. Most of the stuff I teach is what Infocom calls master's classes. In the IT world, they'd be called intro to classes, but it's a little ahead in the AV world. And every year, the quality and the interest of the students is higher. the industry has finally accepted that it's a way of life, that this network stuff is going to stick around.
That's a takeaway for me too, Paul. Yeah, I absolutely agree with you.
5 years ago, I would sit in a 3-day networking class and argue with people, why are you talking about the IT and the organization? I'm never going to allow my stuff to touch that and anything else. And it gets less and less. And I would have to bring people up to speed in order to get the content, and we'd lose time. And Infocom addressed that really well by putting in a real "this is a computer" class, so that people could kind of self-select whether they should be in the other one. And we actually had some people that had taken that class previously and moved in. And so the preparation is better. The conversations are better. And I get a lot out of it, because I never teach a set of classes that I don't come away with a use case or something that I hadn't considered.
I got to tell you, I'm going to reinforce exactly what you just said. And I think that we saw that on a product on the floor too. You know, in years past, I always felt like they just threw a, you know, network connector on the back panel of the equipment. There was some really well thought out ideas on the floor for products across the board. Mm-hmm. Video, everything. Everything had, you know, there was a connector and there was a reason for it and a plan for it going forward. So
yeah,
that was a dynamic change.
There was a lot of years that the entire AV industry just treated the Ethernet connector as an easier to terminate RS-232.
Yes, and it was beyond that this year. And the discussion around it was exciting too. And there was a comfort about the talk and the requirements. And again, I go back to it being exciting. And I think that the cloud deliverable and how it's going to get to the room and back and forth in the room. Once again, you know, SVSI was the chatter on the floor again. So.
Mm-hmm. And you know, and yeah, I want to hear from you, Justin, because, you know, we know you toured the floor too. But, you know, for me, John, I've got to say, over the last few years, there are certain parts of Infocom that I, you know, spend a little more time in. You know, I do my top 10, and really the first year was all UCC, and then last year I branched out a little more, and this year I branched out a little more. But, you know, my days are spent in the first 2 days in meetings, and then the two podcast shows, and there's very little time outside of that to do much else. And then Friday is really what I call my walk day, but unfortunately, even my walk day, you know, certain things pop up. And I ended up doing some booth videos. So, you know, that I was called early for that. So, you know, I got to say, you know, listening to what you say and what Justin will have to say about, you know, going around the floor is very important. Because even for me, over the last few years, I've gotten busier with certain things like that. So I said today, actually, I would love if they put a fourth exhibitor day. But I don't think our feet or our well-being with the unbelievable heat could take it.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I don't like the layout of Vegas.
No, the Vegas is certainly not one of my favorite places in the world. You know,
it's not the environment. Just the layout. I missed the entire hall.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean.
You get halfway there and you're like, I'm too tired. My feet hurt too much.
It seemed like it. My right foot was killing me for some reason, and right.
Listen, us old guys.
It's us. Yeah, well, that's probably what I heard a lot of the old guys talking about, the aches and pains and everything else.
Yeah, I didn't see the sign that said no hoverboards or anything. Maybe we should just come in with a posse.
John,
we'll get at least 1 year before they ban.
I was looking for a drone big enough to carry my lard rear end. So,
you know, maybe the millennials have to teach a class on how we can survive Infocom at this point. Because I think at this point, John, you know, Paul,
I'm gonna tell you, I'm gonna recant one of my most favorite Infocoms of all time. Was I decided that I was gonna stand at the intersection of Broad and Main, wherever that was, and just wait for everybody to walk past. It worked out marvelously.
Good strategy.
It does work really well. One of the best Infocom parties I ever went to was a dud, and we just went out and grabbed kind of a circle of couches in the bar outside, mm-hmm. and we didn't have to move all night because everybody we knew came by because they hit the party. It was horrible. They came out and sat with us. You know, it was like, okay, wait, there's somebody else. Move along. It's like the old Tonight Show. Move down.
I didn't do any of the big parties. In fact, I did small parties this year. I said, I'm tired. Honestly, between you and me and everybody listening, I don't know. I'd rather go for the small parties now.
Yeah, I didn't do any public invite parties, though. We didn't do any public invite parties.
Yeah.
AMX still kicks in and gets the hall for the drunk uncles, but they didn't do a pre-party.
Oh.
Yeah. But we had a whole bunch of private events for different verticals and stuff that I had to go to a couple of them.
Well, we did have one great party Tuesday, and that was karaoke night, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But Justin Watts, so what was your Infocom floor roving experience like?
So I enjoyed it overall. It was neat to see kind of the next branding experience, if you will, of the technologies we have out there. The Sony 8K video wall was something to behold, especially given that it's 8K and, you know, the world is still trying to decide what to do with 4K. Looking through the Harman booth was fun. I did enjoy spinning through there. I really can't say that I had a horrible experience at any one booth that I visited. I will say that I did die a little inside. I was crushed. I did go by the Vadio booth. I saw Jeremy there a number of times. He must have really enjoyed something there at the booth. Got the booth a number of times. And the booth itself was just, it was sad. It was very sad. And the reason why is because, Vadio usually has this awesome booth, right?
Yeah.
Vadio is not the same company anymore.
I'm getting there.
Do tell. Oh.
Did Paul ruin this for you?
Oh, sorry. Oh, you had a punchline.
No, he had a punchline.
Find out about that?
Justin, make it happen.
Sorry.
What I'm saying is, you go by the Vadio booth in years past, and it was, you know, one year it was 80s metal rock theme, and everybody was wearing, like, you know, Twisted Sister looking outfits. Yep. And one year it was this carnival circus S thing and whatnot. Yep. And to Jeremy's point, I mean, we were hanging out talking to Stacy a lot. And she's on the show, and it's fun to be around Stacy because she's an awesome person. But, I mean, it didn't have the energy it used to have, right? I mean, you go by the Vadio booth, and now the sales guys were dressed in, you know, sales guy stuff. I mean, John would approve. They're like marketing people now.
They're really dressed like actual sales guys?
It killed me. I was crushed. My childhood is destroyed at this point in time. It's over. Show's over. I'm back.
It was the only booth that just pushed fun.
It was.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's so the same fun
that the guy decided to sell it and buy a record store instead.
I can't argue that point. But
yeah, I mean,
look at the Samsung booth. You know, the Samsung booth was a mini store, right? Mm-hmm. You had to go. You had to put your name in the thing so you can get a guided tour through the Samsung thing.
Universe.
Canon had a bowling alley? They had a bowling alley.
Yeah, Canon had a bowling alley. You know, it was cool. But,
I did pass by and see the bowling alley. Yeah.
You know, and Christy had the whole, you know,
hockey thing. Yeah.
It was awesome, but
Nothing like a hockey sweater at 120 degrees.
Oh, dude. That's so sad. That was straight up rough, man. It was one of those things that, you know, I it just killed me, right? I mean, I love Infocom. I love Vadio. They put out great stuff. You know, Jeremy and I were over there talking to Stacy a number of times because Stacy's an awesome person. And
it was good to see her there.
It was, but it just, the whole concept of seeing an actual regular Vadio booth, it hurt.
Yeah.
Me personally, take it for what it's worth. That, my opinion, and $10 won't buy you coffee at Starbucks.
It's been moving that way for a couple of years.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Hmm.
It's kind of like your favorite teenager growing up. He's got a job. He's got some responsibilities now.
He's got a venture capitalist.
right.
Somebody actually.
Oh, those money guys.
Money. Oh yeah.
Rob Sheely got rid of that company once and ended up getting it back. And I don't think he had any intention to continue working. And so he was just doing it.
So we were going to go to Jeremy, but he's either having technical difficulties or his kid pushed the wrong button. So, but we got Johnny. Now, Johnny, I don't know if you got to walk the floor. What Johnny was doing was he was at the Kramer booth, is where our podcast station was set up. And, you know, again, Johnny, I want to talk about your friend from Tascam, you know, what they did for us. But, you know, you did the trade show minute, and that went through all the 3 days. So why don't we kind of talk about that, Johnny, what you did there, some of the guests you talked about, highlights of the show, you know, and all of that.
I live purely off of coffee, Dutch stroopwafels, and little chocolate mints from our friends at Sabre, I think it is.
It was stroopwafels?
Yeah, man. That's all I could live off of, because I had to record a show, the trade show minute on Rave Pub's radio, by the by, every 15 minutes from the time that the floor opened until the end of the day. So between every 15 minutes, I had that much window to save, edit, upload to the cloud, to the Amazon servers, and then record with my lovely co-host slash host, Victoria Barilla. Maybe you've heard her name. She's awesome. She's really cool. Should I jokingly call her the Millennial Z? Everyone should know that name by now. Follow her on the interwebs at Barilla Victoria. Barilla Victoria. Play on words with the AB in the middle.
And don't forget the underscore.
Yes. Sorry. I'm bad with words. Underscore. She's awesome. Yes. She underscore at the end. She's cool. She's awesome. She was a great host slash co-host, very intelligent. And Jeremy's not on the show currently, but she, what was it? She graduated from Columbia College with a bachelor's in live and installed sound and did some mentorship with Jeremy Caldera.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Oprah.
Right.
And if you haven't met her, you should reach out to her. She's pretty awesome. And I had a great time all week.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And, the shows were fun. Just check them out on Rave Radio. It's called the Trade Show Minute.
So who are some of your favorite, if you could pick favorite guests on the show that you had a good time with?
Well, obviously, AV Power Up, duh.
Well, no, I mean on the Trade Show Minute, but yeah, AV
Power Up. You know what? They were all really interesting. Some were manufacturers. Some were just integrators who wanted to promote their company and stuff like that. I was like, oh, cool. Others were marketing teams, and then just a general, you know, hey, how's the show going? What's good? I can't leave the booth. You tell me what's good here because I'm here interviewing you.
You were looking through them, huh?
Yeah, you know, it was different because normally, you know, I'm walking the show and doing interviews out there at the booth, but this time I was like, no, come to us.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about you, your brand, your products. What did you see? What's good? What did you do in Vegas? Actually, don't tell us because it'll stay on the internet forever. So we'll just record it out or heavily edit.
Be careful what you say on the show.
Yeah, pretty much.
Stays in Vegas, right?
Stays on the internet.
Not on the trade show minute. It does. Yeah. In the cloud.
So it was good. A lot of fun stuff. Again, you could check that out, the trade show minute on Rave Pubs Radio.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, Johnny, you did 50 plus of those. I tell you, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I think the numbers were, with the two that you did, there was 59 total podcasts. Yeah.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's really
59 amazing. Of the minutes?
No, they weren't really minutes. They were about 10 minutes.
So you worked the whole hour over the
Well, I stretched that hour over the course of 3 days. Hard. So I said I was at the booth, I was really just kind of like cruising around, doing nothing.
Hey, Paul, they all lined up from, you know, each for a minute, got in, got out. It was amazing. You had to see this thing. It was pretty amazing. And there were actually involved too.
They would like ask the question. I was like, don't know. Next question. Move on.
Right. Prize is given too. I believe Mozart balls. Oh, wait, no, that was AV Power Up.
Different show.
That's a different show. You know, so I have to say that was pretty amazing doing that. Johnny, did you get any floor time or were you just pretty much at the podcast booth?
I did a little press tour at the Crestron booth, which happened to be like one step over from the Kramer booth. Does that count?
That was convenient.
Yeah, good for me. I was like, oh, I'm late for my thing. I gotta get going. Mm-hmm.
And tell us a little bit about your friend, you know, gave us put the whole setup out there. Because that was awesome, Johnny. It really was.
Yeah, shout out to my good friend, Eric Larson, who is now the marketing manager / CEO, power move maker, lead Imagineer at Tascam TIAC. And he outfitted our station with all the gear. Hmm. Basically the entire station, with the exception of the stand, right?
That was pretty awesome, if I must admit.
It was fun. We did, however, if you were there, the booth was a little bit wider, probably a little more so that we didn't have to like elbow each other while we're on the mics and like kind of like, you know, do a group hug over the microphone station. But then
we almost had to do on AV Power.
Kinda. And so Kramer was like, "That's great. Chop it down by a third." And so
yeah,
that's
what right.
And it was a little more closed quarters than what I liked, but we made it work.
They only wanted to throw a challenge at us, you know, by chopping the booth down.
We only really had to move the booth around, forward, backwards, left, right, move the power, extend the power. Yeah. You know, trade show stuff last second. They're like, and go.
But, you know, there's pictures up. People saw what we did. We still had enough room at the booth to all be there. But it was really awesome having all the people there on Wednesday. And then we did the executive show on Thursday. And that worked out really well. So, again, you know, thanks to your buddy Eric for taking care of us on that. You know, really good stuff. By the way, also, Mozart balls were given to us by AB Stumpful. We also got kangaroo jerky, which I got to tell you, Johnny, we hid it under the podcast booth. Somebody stole it. So the kangaroo jerky that was given to me so nice, and I'll mention her name, Katinka Alexander. I think I said her name right. Who she's with AV Stumpful. She also is with Caliber. Who steals kangaroo jerky? You know,
well, I didn't want to bring this up on air, but since you kind of already mentioned it, she did leave the kangaroo jerky for you and said, "This is specifically for Corey Moss." And it's like, "Oh, I'll take that." Gave it to you. And then one night, you're like, "You know what? We'll come back for that." Put it under the thing. I did smell, it smelled a little fresh, maybe too fresh. You know what I mean? Mm. So in my mind, the theory is that it just popped away.
Oh,
right. That's what I'm thinking happened.
It was still good enough to hop is what you're saying.
I mean, it was that fresh.
Oh, next Infocom, I'm telling you, that's the first order of business is kangaroo jerky. So, but we did have the Mozart balls. I know Kelly kind of looked at it and threw it back into the bucket. So, you know, we had some fun with that and some other things.
I think I grossed her out with my saying that it wasn't Mozart balls. It was more of a,
exactly.
In a couple of months, you can go to Australia yourself for the next show.
Oh, okay. Well, Paul, next trip you go there, why don't you bring home some kangaroo jerky?
I will be in Australia in August.
There you go. Bring it home. So, Jeremy Caldera, are you with us?
I'm with you.
I'm
wired now. My Comcast Wi-Fi, I had to go find a wired connection, but now I'm good.
So, Jeremy's in his new place. It's all good. We're trying to find the signal there. The kids are in the room. They're adding some content to the show.
They are, certainly.
So,
Jeremy, give an extra 15 minutes to guess his neighbor's Wi-Fi password.
Yeah. We'll guess it on the show.
I'm in a giant apartment building, so there's like 30 Wi-Fi signals.
Jeremy, I must say.
So that's why you name your SSID something really nasty, and everybody else has to look at it.
Mine is named something nasty. I don't know if I should say it or not.
This is an adult show, so you can say whatever you want.
There
are children in the room, so be careful.
Yeah, that's why I have to be quiet as well. So
exactly. So Jeremy, so ZDI was actually exhibiting at the show. Tell us about that.
I hit the mute button. I'm trying.
You're
to
on.
Quiet, so no, it was good. We have the our room ready stuff, which is our partnership with Cisco, and that we have for our prepackaged conference room solutions and a lot of our new innovative stuff that we do, like our wall mount kits and rack mounting and our software that does, remote management and, all kinds of stuff like that. We're showing all that off. We have some surveys that happen after Cisco, a Cisco video call on the Touch 10. We get your quality experience surveys that'll pop up and things like that. So it was pretty awesome. So everyone seemed to be very receptive to it, and it was great for us to have a little booth set up. So we were right next to the feedback guys, which was interesting.
I met with the owners of the company, and I was very, very impressed with what I saw. Actually, I was very highly impressed. I don't know if you got by there, John, to see what those guys do, or Justin.
No, I didn't make it. Like I said, I was people meeting, man. I was networking.
John was John was on Twitter all and Snapchat.
No, actually, no, man. I didn't touch social practically.
Get out of here.
I got the Don't shakes, man. I'm back on.
I know he's back on. That's right. He got right back on after we left the show. We missed you, John. But I don't know if you saw it, Justin, if you got by there, but it's very, very interesting solution.
I went and checked it out. It's actually pretty cool. I saw Jimmy there rocking his classic Vegas shirt, had the cuffs rolled up and collar and whatnot. So on.
I
thought you were going to say the Chuck shirt, but the classic Vegas shirt. I think this is
Everyone knows Chuck shirt. No one sees the classy Vegas lounge trash Jeremy.
Did everybody see Chuck on Friday?
Yeah,
I did.
Yes, the shock of the century, yes.
I forgot that he's 14 years old.
Yeah. Chuck shaved off about 20 years. I had dinner with Chuck tonight, and, he's starting to grow it back. So, industry, don't be scared. Chuck
he
is
said it's a once-a-year thing.
Yes, it's okay. He decided to shock the world on Friday, and Chuck just said, because. So, if you were shocked, it's okay.
He wanted to look appropriate in his pink H3.
That's the story. So, Jeremy, you walked the floor. Anything real, real good you saw?
Yeah, I mean, there were a few interesting things. It wasn't a big technologically breaking through. I mean, I don't know. It was just out there. I mean, there's a lot of software stuff, and nothing really kind of jumped out at me. Right. I mean, is major breakthrough of new hardware or anything kind of crazy like that, which is what I'm always looking for. So I was a little disappointed in that respect. But I mean, there were some cool things out there. I I'm a big fan of the new Wolf Vision piece, the Synapt. It's proving to be very awesome for a lot of the designs and jobs that I'm doing right now. And it's nice to kind of see that come to reality, versus last year when it first came out, at least when they released it at Infocom, and how it always takes ever for anything to come out, but the BYOD solution is pretty nice, and I like the way that it does the broadcasting and whatnot. But as far as everything else goes, there was nothing that was shocking, if you will.
As a manufacturer, what we look at is what's your required sign-off date for the project, and then we add 60 days.
Yeah, and then I add another 30 on top of it.
Okay, there you go, touche. I, like I said, personally, I look for those top 10 solutions, and yes, I do. What's funny is 2 years in a row, I found my 10th the last minute of the show, and it's kind of funny. The one I found, I saw them months earlier. They were on the outskirts of the North Hall, and the one guy I ended up talking to, I had been, on social media and all, and it's funny, it happens with me at Infocom, is people I know on social media I get to meet in person. Well, sure enough, I met him in person, and we had a great conversation. It just happened to be the end of the show, and they had a breakdown. But, it's like, I tell you, there are people who you say just get it, and we had one of those conversations, and it's enlightening. It really is when you can have certain conversations, especially with people that you've never met before. And I think that's one great thing about Infocom, too, especially with people you've known on social media but never have met in person. I know, John, about that.
That's great. No, it is the most enjoyable part of the show. It really is. The tweet up was great. That's an event that I wouldn't miss. But it is. It's just great. Exact same thing. People call out, hey, I know you from social. So it's a valuable tool. Are you going to say who it is? Or are you going to
say? No, I can't. I can't divulge.
Okay. You got to do a blog.
So that comes when it posts, but I will say I did see them a few months back. I was very, very impressed with them then, and I said, "Well, you are in." So,
The little comment. The other thing that you're saying about social is, I think that Infocom this year got social. I think that the tool was used overall by a lot of manufacturers. It was surprising to see a couple people up there on the final numbers, like Sony. You don't expect them to have jumped on that bandwagon, use it effectively. But there were a lot of people that were using it effectively and communicating, reaching out. That was a good feeling too.
Yeah. So before we talk about social, we're going to get to that. But we did talk about, you're being in the career fair, and sure enough, you were next to one of our favorite people in the world, or should I say favorite companies, Tier PM, and of course, Marika.
Yep.
Anyway, we are back with the hot jobs starting today, and we're going to continue on with it, and I have two in front of me. So, job number 577, Federal Account Manager, Collaboration Technology. You can live anywhere in Southern California area. What do you know, Johnny? You know anybody in the Southern California area who likes collaboration?
I don't know if I'm on the name drop. No. Next question.
Next. All right, we'll go to the next job, see if you know anybody for that too. The ideal outside sales professional will have at least 5+ years of experience selling AV equipment and AV integration solutions to federal government agencies, must have experience selling to local military bases in the Southern California area, and a track record of selling at least $3 million per year. Must be able to navigate the federal government bidding and procurement processes. The position is a hybrid hunter slash farmer, a military background, and enterprise sales experience a plus. So that's job number 577, Federal Account Manager, Collaboration Technology. The next one, job number 580, Senior AV slash IT Support Engineer. So you got to know your AVIT. Let's just say that, okay? Right? It's not about convergence. It's about AVIT. If you know AVIOT, there's a job for you, I'm sure. Okay? So we'll get back to that. You can live anywhere in the West Coast. Wow. Johnny, know anybody who loves AVIT and lives on the West Coast?
Is Texas on the West Coast?
Not as far as I know, Paul, but you're Paul Zeeley. I'm sure you could make it part of it.
Texas is its own country. Come on.
Yeah, really.
Nation.
I mean, I know someone at Google's in the West Coast. I'm on the West Coast. I've got friends all up and down the West Coast.
This job is open to Googlers, okay? And everybody else who lives out on the West Coast, okay?
Are there Napods?
And Napod. Oh, actually, let me look. No, but I'll call Marika and see if Napods can be installed.
How's that? Dealbreaker. Shut it down.
It really is. I have standards, which I must obtain at this point.
Can you bring your own Napod from Google?
Maybe not from Google. I can send my writer contract over and they can look it over and see if we're
okay. All right, look at it. Job number 580, Senior AVIT Support Engineer, seeking an experienced AV systems engineer in the Southern California region. The ideal applicant will have at least 4 to 5 years of extensive experience supporting advanced data network, video, and audio integrated collaboration technology systems. Must have experience with the following: C#, Microsoft PowerShell, BACnet/IP, I hope I'm reading this all right, and SIP/VoIP. Candidates with experience with Crestron, including Simple Windows. Where's Hope when I need her? Simple Plus, Simple Sharp, D3 Pro is ideal, as well as understanding of data networking and IP protocols related to networked residential and commercial AV systems integration.
There's no AV in that job.
I know. I'm not sure what we're talking about here. But anyways, job number 580, Senior AVIT Support Engineer. You can live anywhere in the West Coast and Texas. Okay, how's that sound?
I don't know BACnet.
No, not Texas. Just Paul Zeeley's making Texas part of the West Coast. So, anyway, those are the hot jobs. You go to Tier PM. That's TIERPM.com to go look for a lot of those jobs that are out there in the AVIT industry. Okay, let's just call.
I'm laughing. I'm not a paid advertiser, but while you were talking, somebody texted me with it. I need a draftsman, and the next word was tomorrow, all in caps.
I think that's Jive 580-81 that hasn't been posted yet. So wait till next week. We might be able to help you out. Anyway, what we were going on to talk about next was social media at the show. So, John, this year was Snapchat.
Funny. That's how I spend my 5 hours flying to Vegas. So I just sat down and tried to figure out Snapchat. I figured it out, and I figured out that I don't need it.
Okay. Well, we were counting on you for this.
I'm still trying to figure out Snapchat. I have no idea how to use it.
It literally took me 5 hours, and I finally sent something out, and you send it to the family that loves you, and they go, good job, Dad, and they just ignore you after that.
Wait, none of your kids helped you on that one, John?
Well, I was walking desk to desk amongst our millennials and asking them, show me again. How do I do this? What do I do with that? It was really pretty funny.
And they said, Poppy, stay off Snapchat. You killed them with Facebook and Twitter already. So, you know.
I keep reading every article that says that Snapchat is really a manufacturer's solution. I mean, you know, again, whether you say, you know, manufacturer, it's like a brand, a Dunkin' Donuts or something like that. It's just, I don't get it. I am really struggling with this.
Well, you know, John, I saw an article. Here's how Snapchat plans to become a $1 billion company. I said two words, John Green, but obviously that's not the answer now. So
no, it's a viable tool. I just don't get it. So
yeah, I don't know that I got it either. Tell you, did anybody here get Snapchat? Anybody? J-Dog? Anybody? No, he nods his head. No,
I do not. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I think I understand why it was created and
yes,
there are children around, so I'm not going to say it, but you know what? It's, I don't get it. I just don't. I'm trying. I'm really trying. There's a whole bunch of people added me this past week.
Yeah. I made a profile video. Yeah. I mean, that's about all. And it was a mistake, the video I made, but I said, that's about all I got. So, Paul, I mean, Snapchat, really? This was a Paul Zeely platform if there was one.
Yeah, right.
I mean, listen, Paul, you have over 100 followers on Twitter now.
And yes, you know what? Yes, I do.
And you can turn those 100 Twitter followers into one Snapchat guy.
That's right. Trade them in for one Snapchat person. You got it. You know, hey, this is very big.
It's quality, not quantity. As I pointed out in my Twitter trash talk today,
Twitter trash talk.
I have 10 followers. Actually, 12 point something followers for every tweet I have, and I follow no one.
So, listen to this, I tell you.
If you're talking ERA, I am way ahead of you, Corey.
So anyway, I
watched Moneyball this weekend.
There's Hall of Fame
numbers. It's all about those are Hall of Fame numbers. I just have to keep on at this pace for 8 more years, and they can retire my Twitter account.
I find it hard to believe that, Paul, that you would upset anybody on Twitter with your opinion.
Really?
Yeah, you have to tell us more. You have to tell us more.
Imagine, I mean, Paul. Paul's
did somebody take a run at you? Did somebody take a run at you?
No, I just.
Paul Zeely, Twitter trash talking. He's bringing it to the AV industry. It's going to be a thing. It really is.
Was it religion, politics, or technology? Give us a half.
Just technology. I was just messing with Corey.
Hey, Johnny, have you got Twitter trash talk for Paul right now? Can you come up with something?
No, I'm good.
Yeah.
And he just doesn't want – I tell you, Paul.
Both of the listeners can add me, follow me at Paul Zeely, and then I'll be up to 110, and I can then send another tweet and keep my numbers good.
You're going to follow somebody, Paul, right?
No.
Never?
No, it just fill up my –
you got fans out there, Paul. They want to be followed. Just
fill up my email boxes or message stuff with crap.
So let me get this straight. You're looking to get to 1,000 followers without following a soul.
I don't answer my phone, Corey. <on Twitter.
laughs> All right, everybody. So, you know, Paul Zeely has 100. He had 105. I don't know how many he got right now, Paul. Yeah. But he's going to get to 200, as far as he's concerned, by not following anybody and trash talking. So this should be very interesting. Yeah, Justin,
quality content. And people will go on. I've got hundreds of unpublished white papers. I can just put out one of the – Twitter, and
he's gonna put his white paper. Oh my god!
Oh, you should see the number of people who downloaded my presentations from Infocom.
Yeah, they're gonna be on Twitter next. What do you know? So another big moment, Justin Watts, Paladin Machina. How many you got now, Justin?
I have 50 now. 50. I'm not sure if other people created new accounts just to follow me again. What? I mean, I'm not a Johnny Mota. You know what I'm saying? I don't have that.
Justin, Victoria follows me.
I'm so special.
She followed me too, which I don't know if she wants to add to my Twitter feed or remind me that I'm old or what. But she.
Everyone create new Twitter feeds and follow Justin so he can get to 100. Followers, okay.
The only way it's gonna happen, trust me.
Or cancel your account, do a new account, and follow him. We want to see But Justin does follow people there, Paul, you know?
No, hey, hold on. I don't follow you, Justin.
I can't find out.
Uh-oh, on this show.
Yeah, let's
on this show. Jeremy Caldera.
What's the handle? Come on. What is it?
It's Paladin Machina. P-A-L-A-D-I-N.
Oh, you want
company thing. Yeah, boo.
What?
Boo.
I half expected him to say something like, at your mom goes to college.
So anyway, it's at Paladin Machina. So after this show, let's see if Paul spikes or Justin spikes.
Yeah, you got this. Is the battle of no? Is that
right? If both of the listeners add both of us.
Whoa. Well, let's see if they add one and not the other. This should be very interesting. So I tell you what, by next week, by the end of next week, next Friday, okay, our next show, let's see who spikes more. Paul Zeely or Justin Watts?
We got 52 followers versus 107 followers.
Well, no. Right. We're talking about spikes right now. We're not talking about
which means that he's got the advantage because all of the people who follow everybody who
everybody.
And he's not going to trash talk the people who may just follow him too. You know.
I don't think you follow me, Corey. So
I follow and unfollow you daily, Paul.
Oh, do you? You just think the numbers go up and down?
That's why you see the numbers going up and down. It's me.
You assume I look at it daily.
You do now. Jeremy, do you even pay attention anymore?
No, I'm looking to see who follows me. I'm trying to see if it's any of you guys.
Oh, anybody?
I didn't see you guys' names on here, and you guys.
Anybody cool follow you?
Yeah, I got a lot of cool people that follow me. I'm actually quite surprised. Some people that I thought would, that don't. Kind of disappointed about that.
Who is your last follower now, Jeremy? Who's the very last follower?
Is that the one at the top?
Yes, the one on the top. Who's the very last?
Okay, that would be, let me scroll up here, Atlanta Pro AV.
Ooh, what's their Twitter handle? Because it's going to go out. After this show.
Atlanta Pro AV and then Premier Mounts.
Okay. Paul, who's your last Twitter follower?
Dave Hatz.
Dave Hatz. As in H-A-T-S or H-A-T-Z?
H-A-T-Z.
Jeremy, I'm your last follower.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, I just got a notification. Ooh, look at that.
Well, we'll call it Atlanta Pro Sound. Because
Someday that's going to say Paul Zeely.
Yeah. I'm sorry, John. But
you think he's going to be the first? Think you're going to be his first, Jeremy, huh?
But he's a good AVI.
Oh, hey, baby. Hey, John, who's your last follower?
All right, I'm looking it up. Hold on.
I'll look at mine, too. Johnny, look for yours, please. All right, last followers. Here we go.
AV Blogs, is that right?
AV Blogs?
Yeah.
There's an AV Blogs?
Yeah, AV Gurus, AV Blogs.
Ooh, what do you know? AV right. Gurus. All right, Johnny, who's your last follower there?
I think it was Kettle Chips, but then they decided they don't eat their brands.
Kettle Chips, what do you know?
Yeah, crazy, right? I know.
Yeah. I like salt and pepper, Johnny. What do you know?
If they're listening, I do enjoy salt and pepper chips.
I'm gonna tell you, something did happen to me that it's a mark of success. I had Donald Trump actually like and heart one of my tweets. I said,
no kidding.
I was the guy.
You got the Donald?
I got the Donald to actually heart me.
Wow. Yeah. This is big. You're Navy Power.
What did you say?
Yeah, what was your reply?
That was always something. It's something
John, that was your big moment.
Obviously, you got to stroke that ego to get any kind of love back.
No. I don't want to know the reply, but we want to know what was the message or the tweet, if you will.
Yes.
Something like a thumbs up. I'll find it and I'll send it to you.
Thumbs up from Trump.
I got a thumbs up from Trump.
Wow. What's the opposite of a like or retweet in Twitter? Because whatever that is, he did to the tweet that I said that my opinion was so authentic, Donald Trump would put a wall around it.
He usually just says you suck and that's the end of it.
Yeah, so that's pretty much it.
He kind of direct messages.
I think it'd be all over your net neutrality victory, Johnny.
Yes, Johnny.
Did I win?
Johnny had a net neutrality victory. That's right.
I'm not done reading 184 pages. How's the story?
Yeah, right.
I don't know. I feel like that war's never going to end, though.
I'm on sentence number two. I'm still working on it myself. But I hear it's a big win, and, you know.
For who? The little
guy? Internet. I don't know.
Does my cable bill go down or up? What's
Yeah, right. That's the true evidence, right, John? So, wait, my last follower. Hang on.
What does more government regulation do to a cable bill?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So wait, my last follower is Sarah wait a second. La Liberte. It's at Sarah La Liberte. She's a marketing geek, networker, optimist. You know.
Well, an optimist.
She's
an always good. There's always good when they follow you.
Oh my gosh, this really could be lucky for me. In fact, I don't want anybody else following me now. Please.
Did you read,
keep the optimism going?
Did you read Twitter or Tinder? That sounded like a Twitter.
Did you swipe left or right?
I'm swiping left right now.
I followed right. How's that sound? anyway, another crazy thing happened this week. We got to talk about this. So Microsoft bought this social media dump called LinkedIn. Okay. John, you're the only one in this world who seems to think there's any validity to this whole thing.
Well, you know, here's the problem of being in sales and marketing. You know that bell curve thing when it kind of leaves the floor and starts to head up? At that exact moment, that's me every single time. I'm excited about everything. I see the hope. I see the dreams and the vision.
We're talking about Microsoft.
Now. Well, I'd be damned what's going to happen afterwards. But I got to tell you.
$26 billion laying around just doing nothing.
For a company that's losing $230 million this year.
Exactly. Exactly.
They don't have to buy me. I'm not that deep in debt, but somebody can buy me for a lot less too.
With really some of the most priceless memes in the world, you know. I mean, where else do you go but LinkedIn? You know, better than Facebook at this point.
Well, again, the big story behind it obviously is big data, you know, and control of the big data. I mean, you know, Justin could probably attest to that. I think that's, you know, the amount of end users that they have and the ability to tie everybody together and create a workflow. Including our technology. That's the scary part. You know, bring it all together. You know, I could be sitting at an Excel spreadsheet. You know, the next tab is a LinkedIn person. They get an expert that can teach me. They got Linda tied into it together. They're going to bring in all the technology with Skype. The problem is, and it always has been, is that the silos that Microsoft has, they're going to be able to break it down. I mean, that's really an issue. You know, if you listen to the conference call, they thought it out clearly, in my opinion. And I think that they lined up all the people that would potentially stop it that were on the board and who had the stock. They clearly called that out. And the LinkedIn people stopped watching the WWDC and they turned and watched the Microsoft thing. So Microsoft stole some thunder from Apple. And it's not too big of a task these days, but my God, I mean, it was a clear and concise message out there. If they're going to deliver on this, I might not be around to see the conclusion of that. But
anybody else have the hope of John Green about this?
I'm waiting to see how LinkedIn 10 does.
I'm waiting for the next iteration. LinkedIn 10 is Skynet, isn't it? This is when Skynet becomes self-aware and we just go.
I was just
the AI version.
You cynical old guys, I'll tell you.
You know, once they put it over to Silverlight, everything will be fixed. Well,
then it's the latest app for Service Hub now, right? The new LinkedIn app for Service Hub.
That's right.
I find my Office 365 account being deleted.
Right, you're so pissed. I'm just so pissed about Sony abandoning it.
Auto-delete. So all the Surface Hub resellers out there, well, you got LinkedIn too. What do you know?
I mean, let me tell you, what a disappointment. I got it. I have an 84-inch Surface Hub that I love, but I hadn't played with the 55. Those are two different machines.
Mm.
They don't work the same way. They don't have the look, the fit and feel. Things that work on the 84 from the API don't work on the 55. I was really surprised that there would be that much difference between the two.
Interesting. So we have to call Microsoft to talk to them about the Surface Hub and this deal that, I don't know, John, you're the only one who has. I mean, I read an Ars Technica article where they're just saying they just don't understand this thing at all. You know, I mean, Forbes doesn't understand it. I don't know, you know, maybe it's me, but there's not a lot of understanding of this whole
thing. Listen, you know, the workflow is going to change. We know that, right? You know, and I think there's a lot of other people that are trying to put the pieces together. And it's even, you know, even from Infocom, you see a lot of different manufacturers that are stretching outside of their zone. You have audio companies putting video cameras into their product line. You see furniture company putting in metal manufacturers putting in video and that type of stuff. There's the workflow is going to change. It is changing. It's going to be on the network, and it's going to be away from hardware eventually. Hmm. You know, so it's going to be on the network, and you have a company like Microsoft that knows software. Again, I'm not saying that they're going to do it and it's going to work perfectly, but it really did write a nice narrative towards where it's probably going to go. Are they the ones that do it? We'll see. And I agree. I think that everybody that's an expert on this panel could probably give you, practical history of how some of their offerings have failed. They haven't gone all the way. Surface Hub is one of those. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've been waiting now for a year for practical application of attached technology.
Yeah, and that's to be seen. But, John, you mentioned that hardware and software, cloud and all that. Do you think there's ever a day we're going to find a show where we're going to have maybe 50-50 is hardware, software, cloud? I mean,
I do.
Where it's 90 software everywhere. The day of the box in AV, that's numbered.
It really is. I agree with you, Paul.
So you think that could happen soon?
Five years.
That severely,
the industry is going to be in the software business.
There will not. There will not be 1,000 box manufacturers at Infocom.
Well, that would be interesting to see. It really would. And I tell you what, hardware is always going to be around. But if we can see larger numbers in software and cloud, coming
today, based on what's built into Windows 8, you get the plug-in for Windows 7. You can connect your PC directly to a projector that supports it.
Mm-hmm.
What hasn't come is kind of this interoperable and standardized, but because you've got the Google OS's fighting the Microsoft OS's fighting the Apple OS's, but at some point,
I'll pick on Justin.
What did he do?
Those are the three OS companies that have ways to get it from your PC to the screen.
What about BlackBerry?
Yeah, really. Yeah, they're still out there.
Can you get your BlackBerry?
Online support, but they're still out there.
All four users.
Yes.
BlackBerry's not running Android.
So you can do that. How much more is it at some point when this is a base feature of the operating system to then have some software switch that replaces that virtual switch? So even the network transport, which is trying to get rid of the matrix switch, has its days numbered as an edge box. I mean, there'll always be some sort of boxes. There'll always be audio. You'll always need microphones, amplifiers, and speakers. And you'll probably always need DSP in conference room type situations because PCs aren't very good real-time DSPs.
Hmm.
And then the nature of the way the operating systems work.
And then we'll go through this iteration, as Paul has said, in the matrix, and then the one will become present and will bring convergence to AV and IT.
And that's Skynet, which is actually when...
No. We've gone from Terminator to the matrix now. We're talking about Neo.
The one.
I was just figuring that Google contract said you vested when Skynet, came online.
Well, the other enjoyment that I had on the flight out was I guess it was in Wired magazine, and the talk about artificial intelligence and they got us at all the software, they got us at all the games, but we got them because they got short little arms and they can't pick crap up. So we haven't lost artificial intelligence yet. But again, this stuff is coming together, and it's coming together because it needs to. It's expected. I mean, we're seeing it in the designs.
Mm-hmm. And what's going to be interesting, I think, when you're looking at, the various big players, if you look back not too long ago to the analog sunset, the company that was able to pivot the fastest was Crestron. And it was primarily because they didn't have any switching to hold them back. And then AMX came up fairly fast with Auto Patch, but that was still a secondary line for them, an acquisition. And so they moved through. And a company like Extron, whose lifeblood was built on...
I'm sorry, who?
DJ Switcher.
Who?
Yeah, exactly.
They don't show up at Infocom. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but...
They show up down the street, actually.
Down the street, that's right.
But let me tell you...
Oh, please do continue.
For a decade, you didn't even think. You just stuck a Mav Switcher in there.
That's right.
Because... Mm-hmm. Because it was going to work. It was, you knew what it was priced, you knew how it worked, and it did it. And they weren't able to pivot. And I really see that there's possibilities of the same thing happening in the AV industry, because it is very uncomfortable to go tell your boss while a product is still profitable that it's doomed and I need to create something that's going to kill it off.
Yeah, well, I get it. The other booth that was probably that we should have been discussed a little bit more was Utelligy.
I mean, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we had them on the show, John. Yeah,
you've had them and you've talked about them. Yeah. But I can tell you, 10 by 10 booth, we had an appointment there. We couldn't even get to our appointment because it was packed. And you hate to use these terms, game changer and stuff like that, but there were people that were like.
No, we like to use change gamer on this.
Change gamer. Okay. Yeah. Change gamer. So, but then the other thing, like you get to you, Paul, is like, you know, it was BIAMP, you know, with an AVB Cisco switch.
Yep.
I mean, that opens it up and
changes. That's something else I got to tell you. You talk about changing the game.
That opens up conversations that could not be had yesterday.
Absolutely, Cisco can swing conversations that would not be had. I have been on both sides of John Chambers making a phone call and flipping the technology.
Mm.
Yep. But another one that I would say that came to play, and we talked a little bit about their booth, but not what they did in it, was Cramer.
Yep.
Cramer came out, and you know, rightly or wrongly, they've always been kind of thought of as that second tier prosumer small company, and they came out saying the right things. They still got some things they have to work out, I think, but they are saying all the correct things that they need to.
Well, and they introduced the cloud control too. I mean, that was a big intro for them too.
Barco's moves on to ClickShare. ClickShare's talking to ClickShares.
Yep, that's big too.
And that's why the show is very exciting in that regard, because I think that there were conversations and people listened. And Paul, you're right. Product managers are there to save their own product and save their own position. But I think there were some courageous statements made from a variety.
I think there are, and I think there are certain companies that are going to ramp up conversations as we go. And then there are other companies that are just going to be like, you know what?
Yeah.
The others are going to lap you because of, you know, such things that are being done. So.
But it's not going to be a chance to lap. It's going to be, I mean, I think that you're going to hear doors slamming.
Well, you're right. Doors slamming behind them. That's right.
Exactly. And one of the reasons I think you didn't see a lot of big stuff is because companies are spending a lot of money working under the hood. And I can tell you firsthand that that conversation, I want to spend $2 million on something that can't be shown at a trade show, is not an easy conversation to have.
Right.
Because when you're talking about security and IT and everything else, it's still got an Ethernet jack on it. You know, it is very difficult to come up with a trade show that says, I've rebuilt the architecture underneath to support this AVIT stuff the way it's supposed to.
Right.
Or you could be Crestron and just tell everybody you did it, and then because they can't tell anyway because it's still got an Ethernet jack.
And the other thing, Paul, we've had this conversation in an earlier podcast. I don't think we've been challenged. That's the problem. I think that there are people that are prepared, and I think that but you haven't gone to version 2.0 yet.
And
I think that there's going to have to be some ugliness, some really bad situation occur. Well, where every manufacturer is going to have to go run it back into their.
And there's some potential for some huge disruption depending on who wants to get into this market. If Dell says, hey, I think I can pull $2 billion a year by adding in AV, and we'll just take a server and build a control system, and we already sell more displays than anybody else in the country, and we've got a logistics department, and we've already got people in every zip code, they could go in and, you know, be $1 billion in a couple of years. Without a huge investment, because they wouldn't necessarily have any legacy.
Positions.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think one of the other minor issues is that there's so many of those companies that are positioned that they could turn because of their distribution channel, their pricing structure, their marketing and advertising, that they could scoop up half of the business blindly. But I still feel comfortable in that, you know, there is some warmth and charm needed by systems integration companies.
Mm. Oh,
absolutely.
I think there is. And also, $2 billion isn't that much money.
Yes.
To a lot of these companies that go in.
As we know, somebody just spent $26 billion. Yeah.
Right. I mean, when you're looking at the size of some of these companies who could do it, picking up a market segment that might be worth $2 billion a year is not necessarily worth, you know, putting a lot of effort into it.
Yeah. Well, again, you go back to that conversation about LinkedIn, Microsoft. If they were just to switch out the old stuff with the new, their base of customers alone would make it, and you know, that $26 billion seemed like a small expenditure. You know, that's how it's going. That's the other thing it's going to. And again, I guess we have this conversation. If you take the names out of it and you put together, what would you do for tomorrow's workflow? I think they did it. That's what I'm saying.
Well, as well, there's a lot of things that you could do with LinkedIn where they could bring it into the internal plan and all these Office 365. So you start running your internal version of CRM on LinkedIn. So, okay, as part of our things, we're a company that offers Office 365. Okay, now all our internal employee, resumes, finders, all of those stuff have LinkedIn and have all of those pieces. They could just cloud that out, and you could have something that you've got your LinkedIn account and you've got your internal type of communications in your external,
and
they do with Skype.
Yeah, so again, CRM being a customer, manager, it's going to turn into a resource manager. I mean, with the ability to dial in the resource that you need or the expert you need that you found out of your LinkedIn database to get the project done, and then all you have to do is tie it together with some video on Skype. Come on, gentlemen, this is an easy fix, and that's what's going to happen. We're doing it now. We're doing it manually now. I'm going to LinkedIn going, hey, give me a guy that's closest to Chicago because I got some projects.
Yeah, and I actually just received word that Microsoft will be back at InfoComm next year. They'll be bringing LinkedIn and another surprise guest with them.
Okay.
So, we'll be there. We'll see it, and it's all going to be good.
Because my company, I mean, it's a fairly large company, especially when you add a couple of the acquisitions. It's, tens of thousands of employees, but we've got an internal talent management system that everybody's supposed to keep updated and have your contact and all your stuff so people can find the subject matter experts. LinkedIn would do a much better job of that and add a whole lot of other features and probably be used more than the tool we have now. And Microsoft can afford as an add-on just to continue to hold onto the market share.
Yeah, again, and I agree with you. We have somewhat of a talent acquisition system too. It's called, hey, call Green. He knows everybody. He's been around forever. And that's what a lot of companies in the industry do right now. I mean, the guy that's been around long enough, knows the most people, has the biggest network, have him call.
And I'm not a social media guy, but I do LinkedIn because I like looking at people's resumes before I have to talk to them.
Right.
I looked up John just to make sure I had the right.
I'm telling you, that's all I thought it was a giant digital resume system. I don't know.
Yeah,
and you can post really awesome memes on it too. One of my favorites is the guy in the plane taking the selfie. Oh, look at the shadow, all of that. It can't be real.
We try to pace those people from Snapchat going into LinkedIn at conversion. We try to chase them back to Snapchat.
Yeah, right. There you go. Yeah, exactly. LinkedIn at the show next year. Let's make it happen. It's a Microsoft thing. So anyway,
did you buy like a version and didn't get everything? I mean, like you spent $19.95 a month on it.
Oh, don't.
Please
don't remind me of my LinkedIn expenditures.
Isn't it like $50 a month?
Where was your heart broken? I understand.
Please don't remind me of those garbage LinkedIn expenditures I've made, John. Please, that netted me that and that is a big goose egg, folks.
I have the 10 months of $10 a month, and it does everything.
Oh, okay. Well, Paul Zealy, again, it was tailored to you. We know this.
So. Well, it's because I don't need to pay all that extra money to get introduction because I can call John Green.
I don't. I have not spent money on a premium service since Tinder Plus, and that's the only one that I've been.
Yeah. And on that note, we're going to close down.
The one that turns off the left swipe on your...
Right, exactly. Swipe right, swipe right.
You can only swipe right or else it stays with the picture there forever.
Swipe right on Tinder, left on LinkedIn. Just remember that, okay?
This thing's not working. Nobody's calling me back.
That's because John's been swiping on LinkedIn all the time. Anyway, we're going to wrap it up here. Our guests on this show have been Paul Zeely of Harman, and yes, Paul Zeely stepped into his booth a total number of 5 times. So whoever guessed 5 out there, you were right. Okay, Justin did, and he wins a prize. We don't know what it is.
And now if you really want to get down to it, I'm not sure there was carpet the first 2 times. So maybe the 3 was the winner because you said stepped onto the carpet.
Did I say 3?
No, not you, but you
I think John said. I think John said 3 in
Germany. I won.
We're going to get technical here.
So, but you said stepped onto the carpet.
I did say stepped on the carpet. That's right.
I
didn't say the booth.
I don't recall that there was carpet yet when I went
to the show. Semantics.
Listen. Don't break Justin's heart. He thinks he won.
Right.
Okay.
I know.
You know, Justin satisfied, the answer for Paul Zeely, the mystical, the magical, and illustrious and all of that. So, Justin wins. John Green, better luck next time.
Yes.
Thank you for joining us.
Welcome. I'm ready to go again.
All right. So, my guests, thank you very much for being here. There will be parting guests. I'll let you know about them next year. Jeremy Caldera joining us as guest crew and his kids.
And my kids.
That's right. In the new place. I got to tell you, that view is pretty awesome there, buddy.
Well, the view, I had to move to the bedroom where the modem's at, but the view is pretty awesome out the front. So.
Yes, it is. Yeah. So I know you all can't see it, but Jeremy's got one awesome view in that apartment.
And it's a really easy lawn to mow.
Yes, it is. Not easy in the last place, let me tell you.
Yeah, much less maintenance to this place. Let's put it that way. So, Jeremy, thanks for joining us, buddy.
Yeah.
All right. And for my crew, Johnny Mota. Thanks, Johnny.
Thank you.
Have you got a parting wisdom?
Eat more kale. Disgusting. You know, that thing that used to be like garnish a long time ago?
Yeah. Now it's a thing. It's a food.
It's a thing.
Who knew? Not me. Justin Watts. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, sir. I'm jealous of Jeremy and his ability to move into the bedroom to the phone next to the bed, apparently. That's what he's calling it, his modem and whatnot. But yeah.
Yeah. I think we're all jealous.
It is modem. That's the Google technical.
Yeah.
That's it.
Oh, exactly. You mean you don't have gigabit fiber to the to the kitchen, Jeremy?
Yeah.
No.
And we're gonna try and take this show out if we can. We're gonna do it right here. So anyway, big thank you to my crew, to my guests. Thank you to all of you listening, and we will see you next time.